Yep, I thought you were gonna be
Blog
anyway.
Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
would. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with us in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep.
Hands up, eyes open to fifth clip. Face and get some of this good shit. This could be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path to clubs. Like at the party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that, like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll, well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They're gonna shut up motherfuckers like us, they're gonna have to kill us. Close up in the casket, read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be dead, how would I like a hoe? Never get wrong, I'll never let it slide, never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever, no. Get on my level hoe, or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga stick round. I never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, crippling all our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be persistent in pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I just ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all won't listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with no our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I'd never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
would.
Because sad to say that we never had this shit roll, well, I can never say how it's gonna go. But one thing for sure, two things for certain. That Lord, shut up motherfuckers like us, they gonna have to kill us. Close up in the casket, read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide, never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever, no. Get on my level, hoe, or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, that wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the thing, dawg. Too many homies dying young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy, Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food. But he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, we got a good house here, the house Negro said, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house, Negro, and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, that house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here.
I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa.
Many students of human behavior and historians have wondered why enslaved Africans suffered such inhumane treatment for so many centuries and attempted so few revolts. People don't typically revolt when conditions are so oppressive that they have no hope of succeeding. The slavery system in America was a comprehensive and effective system. Our ancestors were not only outnumbered, but had no weapons to speak of or no training on using them. Confined to plantations, they had little knowledge of the physical terrain of the South. Few could read or write. Their skin color made them highly visible targets for white militia that patrolled the roads night and day to quell potential unrest. Most of the North was still allied with the Southern slaveholders, and blacks did not have irate African nations crossing the Atlantic seeking revenge to free their enslaved people. Even though enslaved Africans considered themselves little more than the working dead, they knew that a failed revolt meant certain death. In both direct and indirect ways, many enslaved Africans found ways to resist even under the most treacherous of circumstances. Most enslaved Africans were so overwhelmed by the magnitude of their situation that they preferred to withdraw from reality or psychologically join their white oppressors. At a subtle level of resistance, slaves nonetheless responded to white oppression by feigning illness, crippling themselves, committing suicide, poisoning their masters, setting fire to the properties on which they labored. More aggressive enslaved Africans escaped to Maroon settlement and Indian communities in the wilderness, where they often plotted against their oppressors. Maroons were groups of enslaved Africans who established their own communities. They routinely raided slave plantations for food, supplies, and to liberate other enslaved Africans. While most slave revolts in America were small and ineffective, at least three chilled the hearts of the American South. The three key revolts were led by Gabriel Prosser in 1800, Denmark Vesey in 1822, and Nat Turner in 1831. These revolts set the stage for the ultimate revolt, the Civil War of the 1860s, that ended slavery as an institution, by popular belief. So what inspired these rebellions? Toussaint L'Ouverture, a former carriage driver and natural military genius, led the enslaved Africans of Haiti and the Dominican Republic in a rebellion against Napoleon of France at the end of the 1700s. His army suffered a stunning defeat. This was the only time in the development of the Western world that whites blinked and blacks seized their freedom. To stave off a chain of black revolts in the United States, slaveholders tried in vain to keep the news of the Haitian Revolution from the ears of enslaved Africans in America. El Overture's rebellion made an impact. Reportedly, whenever an enslaved African chafed under chains, this man's name was whispered. So why were there so many unsuccessful slave revolts in North America? To understand that, you got to understand one of his major contributors. Meritorious manumission was a legal act of freeing an enslaved African for good deeds as defined by the national public policy. Meritorious manumission could be granted to an enslaved African who distinguished himself by saving the life of a master, inventing a new medicine, or snitching on a fellow enslaved person. This was a destructive weapon in the slaveholder's arsenal and a powerful component of the public policy. The importance that whites placed on black informants is emphatically demonstrated with the Hayward Shepherd John Brown incident. Hayward Shepherd, a black porter from the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad in Harper's Ferry, Virginia, was the first person who was killed by John Brown and his party in their raid the night of October 16, 1859. He recognized the group and tried to ward the town and was killed on sight. There is a 900-pound granite monument there in his honor that reads, "On the night of October 16th, Hayward Shepherd, an industrious, respected colored freeman, was mortally wounded by John Brown's raiders. In pursuance of his duties as an employee, he became a victim of an attempted insurrection. This boulder is erected by the United Daughters of the Confederacy and the Sons of the Confederate Veterans as a memorial to Hayward Shepherd, exemplifying the character and faithfulness of thousands of Negroes who, under many temptations through subsequent years of war, so conducted themselves that no stain was left upon a record which in this peculiar heritage of the American people, everlasting tribute to the best of both races." So he was rewarded for placing the way of life of the white citizens of Harper's Ferry above the welfare of his own people. Meritorious manumission was not only used as an instrument to reward blacks, but was a device for destroying black unity and race loyalty. It created a very effective informant system. The meritorious manumission policy introduced a strong element of distrust among enslaved Africans and made it more difficult for enslaved Africans to organize a revolt. The psychological techniques used were designed to drive wedges between enslaved Africans and to train them to trust no other than the white slave master. Meritorious manumission was first instituted in Virginia in 1710. According to Peter M. Bergman's The Chronological History of the Negro in America, the technique of meritorious manumission was adopted by all the colonies. The first use in Virginia of the legislative power to break the bonds of an enslaved person was made in the year of 1710. A Negro named Will, cited for discouraging a slave conspiracy in the colony and in recognition and reward of the public service, an act was passed conferring freedom upon him. This act of freedom read, "The said Negro Will is and shall forever hereafter be free from slavery and shall enjoy and have all the liberties, privileges, and immunities of or to a free Negro belonging." The Act of Freedom restored some of the liberties, privileges, and immunities that Maryland's public edict took from blacks in 1638. This national discipline policy was so successful that in more than 250 years of slavery, there was not one successful slave revolt in America. Of the mere 150 to 200 attempts of slave insurrections, in nearly every instance, the slave revolts were prematurely exposed. Unfortunately, the informant in nearly every instance was a black person. Social engineering effectively destroyed most black people's sense of community, trust, and accountability. Though undocumented, many black Americans believe that soon after this inception, meritorious manumission was merged into what we now call Willie Lynchism. According to popular belief, Willie Lynch offered mind-controlling ideology to destroy black people's sense of community as he was a professional slave trainer. He proposed that slave masters create divisions among blacks and separate them along the lines of gender, age, tribe, culture, class, rank, and skin color. To this day, the effects of Willie Lynchism continues to encourage black individualism, selfishness, and self-hatred. Meritorious Manumission has a lot of similarities with the communist prisoners of war brainwashing program of the American soldiers. The only difference is that the prisoners of war who survived were hospitalized and deprogrammed. No such therapy has ever been offered to black Americans. Meritorious Manumission and Willie Lynchism conditioning broke our will. Only a few thousand or more than 5 million enslaved Africans ever attempted an escape. Out of the 252 known slave revolts, there was a black informant nearly every time. Many fought with the Confederacy to maintain slavery. Some even elected to stay with the white slave masters after the war was over. The analysis of brainwashing provides insight into why blacks avoid blackness and lack accountability to members of our team. What is the success rate of this social engineering? After 360 years, 44 million descendants of enslaved Africans have the shortest life expectancy, low self-esteem, remain divided and non-competitive. They remain fearful and continue to seek white approval and rewards that come along with being a sellout. Government and dominant white society has historically rewarded blacks who identify with the larger white community and place their welfare above that of the black community. For selling out their own community, blacks were often rewarded with special positions, money, and meritorious manumission. The rewards of meritorious manumission, the law that rewarded enslaved Africans who sold out their brothers and sisters, has created a legacy that is still with us today. Blacks have no balancing social devices that punish those blacks who sacrifice members of the race for their own personal advantage. Black America is void of social accountability policies and enforcement devices. What is a sense of community and why is it important? A sense of community is a collective thinking, seeing and behaving as we and not as me. Aberrant behavior among blacks began in 1710 and were formalized into law when the Virginia colonial government introduced meritorious manumission, a public policy that was used to condition and instill internal controls into the psyche of enslaved Africans. The practice awarded blacks who saw slavery through the eyes of white society, were willing to work against their own group's interests, and inform on members of their own race who were planning to escape and free other blacks. Blacks must first establish cultural standards of acceptable social behavior and jettison behavior patterns that render them economically non-competitive. Blacks must openly acknowledge that certain behavior is detrimental to the race and must be changed. They can no longer excuse destructive behavior by hiding within the frail walls of civil rights issues or charging it to poverty politics or the legacies of slavery. Black institutions, churches, schools, families, and other social organizations must assert themselves regarding the problems facing black America. They must establish and promote codes of conduct to protect their community from black antisocial and dysfunctional behaviors. These foundation institutions should cooperatively use a variety of social tools to persuade members of the black race to comply with certain behavior standards. Social tools, including sanctions, rewards, and punishments, must not only encourage respect and unity for the group, but should also instill trepidation in potential violators. Black institutions must define and teach roles, values, and beliefs, must also house enforcement powers. Neither law enforcement, politicians, nor the military can bring about community togetherness. A strong sense of community springs from group power. Institutions must be constructed within black communities to attract and retain wealth, information, and power. Industrial power is more potent and lasting than individual power. For instance, White wealth and political power is manifested through a wide variety of organizations and institutions. These entities are financed and directed by governments and corporate leaders to protect and enhance the privileged social positions of their race. All black self-empowerment activities must contribute to the building a strong sense of peoplehood and commitment to the acculturation principle of taking care of oneself, one's family, and one's race. A true sense of peoplehood is not the same as the rhetoric of brotherhood and sisterhood. Like whites, blacks will have differences of opinion and interracial differences and disagreements, but black lives are interconnected by virtue of their color. So blacks must be committed to moving towards mutually benefited goals. New black leadership must establish a national vision and articulate an acceptable code of conduct, behavior that is just as injurious to the other black people, and property must be strictly prohibited. Black institutions such as churches, community agencies, and fraternal organizations are needed to reestablish a broad sense of community and peoplehood. Their historical roles and resources must be broadened and linked via a national plan. In his autobiography, the great revolutionary Huey P. Newton effectively used an old African proverb, "I am we." He said, "If you met an African in the ancient times and asked him who he was, he would reply, 'I am we. All of us are one and the multitude, and we need to return to this state of consciousness.'"
To my last goddamn war. And we'll never forget what them pigs did.
at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest thing I've ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I've ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, pressure, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, now wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never.
Never.
Never, never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slum and rap it every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gon' bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk the nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected.
Never, never.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. You see, the deal is this here. Now, although they did my daddy in one of the most direct graphic type of ways, the reality is that this system snatches or attempts to snatch all of our daddies in some sort of a way. And though the peers came in blasting, rat-a-tat-tatting through the front and back doors in 1969 at 4:30 a.m. on December the 4th, in which, in the aftermath, not only left my daddy, 21-year-old Chairman Fred, but 22-year-old Defense Captain Mark Clark as corpses. You see, they set the stage and laid the ground to, in whatever way, lay all of our daddies and all of us in general under the ground. Whether it be to string them up, lock them up, have them strung out, shoot them up, paying them up or parking them out, or straight up point blank, putting them 6 feet under the ground. And with that being said, this is from the young Chairman Fred to that of the Chairman Fred, as well as to all the daddies, fathers, and papas, those who were in prison, as well as those who, in which it was out of their control, just came up missing, as well as the forgotten. Dear Daddy, this is for you, man. Let the record reflect. When your son with nothing but love and revolutionary respect. With you, no commercials for Gatorade juice. No Armani suits, no nothing of the likes. For our son, the son to be a freedom fighter like Chairman Fred, as opposed to wanting to be like Mike. Although you weren't here, you was always here for me. And I learned lessons from your legend of what a man was supposed to be. When they play with my mail and I couldn't get you no phone, doing those hunger strikes and cold nights, I was never alone. Like you, they say, and I talk real fast and I move my hand. We love the people, oh, but we'll get up with that ass. On the streets, I always in the ear when they spoke on Chairman Fred, and in prison, I paid attention to what the old timer said. When they spoke on you, I seen that gleam in their eye. With just the mere mention of your name, I seen demoralized get high. No narcotics needed, in fact, high the people that you always said. As a kid, I came up looking forward to sideburns, fur hats, and the nappy head. From colleges to the communities, from the parlors to pool rooms, from the real Rainbow Coalition to a principal gang troops. In this struggle, you said you would pay the ultimate price. You anticipated prison and dedicated your life. Whatever the state signed your name, mama told me the truth. And that young lady, your great-grandbaby, she sends you a love. Well, she's a descendant of a diehard and a blessing from above. Now, quiet minds want to know, how does it feel to be sighted by you? being loved by the people and sweated by the you know who. If I could choose to do it all over again, I would choose to be your son. And by the way, that lady that you chose, that daddy, that was the one.
on the button.
J E on the button.
J E on the button.
J E on the button.
Y'all level.
Bring me right in on the boards. Right on. Ears up, eyes open, the fist clenched. Welcome to another edition of Triple C Saturday. Triple C Saturday. Triple C Saturday is an acronym for Children, Community, and Cubs. This is a program implemented by the Black Panther Party. Cubs, a program done in the spirit of the Black Panther Party Free Breakfast Program. We are serving the people. You know what I'm saying? And that's not just a cliche. It's not just a slick term that we use. We mean that the Black Panther Party, serve the people, mind, body, and soul. And it was, again, you know what I'm saying? We intend to not walk in, only walk in their footsteps, but in fact, their Panther Paw steps. Again, their Black Panther Party Paw steps. Okay? I'm a little bit under the weather, but we're going to still do what it do. Just want to get a couple of PSAs up for those out here, you know. People service announcements. Y'all know we're building up for August 30th, so start getting ready for August 30th, the Chairman Fred Streets Party. Just got word, too, we got an event for April 15th we're supposed to be at. You know, you know what I'm saying? That's a Southern Illinois. We'll keep y'all updated on that event. You dig? So whatever support people can have. Also, we'll be mobilized for June, annual trek down to Chairman Fred's tombstone in Hainesville, Louisiana. So people can start donating to that, you know what I'm saying, to ChairmanFredJr@gmail.com at PayPal. Again, so all that's tied into the campaign to save the Hampton House. It's not just the house itself, it's just the infrastructure, but it's the community, the legacy of Chairman Fred Hampton, you dig, amongst other things. In fact, we're going to the tombstone, which is annually shot up by law enforcement. That's right, you heard it correct. The tombstone, which Chairman Fred is buried at, is shot up annually like clockwork. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. We'll make sure we get down there. Also, extend revolutionary birthday greetings to member of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party, brother comrade that resides on our advisory board. So, clench fist salute and birthday revolutionary birthday greetings, comrade Stan McKinney. Again, revolutionary birthday greetings, y'all. So we live in the record. We need y'all support, but you know, do this here for as many as you can. Say without the people, revolution is impossible. It's impossible. Right on. Oh, it's not really. It's stay right back. Right back. Better yet, right black. Right black at the youth troop. You know what I'm saying? Free them all. No doubt about it. Save the Hampton House. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of making history, taking history, taping history. Let's do what it do, y'all. Y'all bear with me. Or better yet, cub with me. I'm going to be sitting on this tea time to time with this cold. I thought it was over with. You know what I'm saying? I got a reminder late last night. It ain't over with. We're going to do what it do, though. Real talk, y'all. Real talk. We'll do what it do. I'm moving the cup off of the table just in case our mother comrade, who also was on our advisory board, happens to be watching this. The cup is not on the table. Grandma. Yes, indeed. Okay, I'm right back at y'all. White, black, with y'all. Okay, right back at y'all. White, black, with y'all. Y'all come on through, see what we're doing. Again, we are 804 South 17th Avenue. You see the weather's breaking, you know what I'm saying? And you dig, you know, a lot of people complain about the youth ain't getting nothing to do, so on and so forth out here. They complain about the crime out here, so on and so forth, going down. Any resources you can do, you say, well, I don't want to send no cash. My money kind of funny. You know, hook up on the water guns, hook up on the basketball, the softballs, what have you. You know what I'm saying? Chess balls, what have you. Your ideas. You know what I'm saying? Information, you know what I'm saying? The books, you name it. Bring it on to the Hampton House. You know what I'm saying? You know, break that frame of reference that automatically, you know what I'm saying? You turn stuff over to the Salvation Army or to, you know,
See, man, I'm learning more and more, even the way people fight, the way people think. I mean, I said, you know, the whole, I can really understand and relate to that thing about, you know, people being slaves and they mad. Well, that's just serious business, you know what I'm saying? I mean, motherfuckers, this man, who was it, College E. Wilson, they train a motherfucker a certain way, they on automatic drive. If nothing else, up to Annie on how you support those who resist, how you view resistance. Let's do this, y'all. Come see what the Black Panther Party clubs are doing. We need your support. Again, that's what it is. I was a happy birthday to Comrade Stan. What else want to get on? Oh, we're gonna be talking about following up, again about this whole discussion of meritorious manumission. Meritorious manumission. And this is a dynamic that if, we talk about, you look through historically, at how people, those enslaved, as what, you know, how they elevate, how they quote unquote made it. We all have been fed this whole thing about you work hard, you can make it, so on and so forth. And I tell you, I beg to differ. In different arenas, you know what I'm saying? One thing, like, you know, in order for Colin Powell to be chief of joint staff, you know what I'm saying, former U.S. President George Bush, in order for him to be elevated to Secretary of State, there's a background, there's a resume, there's a willingness, there's an action of Colin Powell, his moves. You know what I'm saying, the role he played, you know what I'm saying, the U.S. had bombed Panama, you know, the bomb, you know, 40,000-plus Africans. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This is a resume. You look at even the street organization, case, oh, you got to put some work in. These are, you look at different entities in the entertainment field. You look at the electoral political field, in the movement. You look at different people who are raised up, but at what expense? You people talk about the Illuminati and the sacrifice, on and so forth. But you know what I'm saying? These are the people at the expense. You know what I'm saying? I tell people, man, you look at Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's like for soul suckers. They got to go. And that's the nature of imperialism. It's a parasitical politic. You know what I'm saying? War woman, I see. You know that about it. Get back that way. You know that about it. Yes, indeed. So these are the politics of this system, you know what I'm saying? So we must struggle to acknowledge and put this correct context. It's not that you just work hard, you make it in this system. No, you got, man, shit, man. It's exploitative by nature. You look at the, you know what I'm saying, with the indigenous community, you know what I'm saying, man? Right, see Warrior Woman checking in, good to see you. You know what I'm saying? Pilgrims, white folks, they come over here and just say, let's work hard and make it. You know what I'm saying? It came at the expense of the theft of the land from the native community. You know what I'm saying? This is the dynamic, you know what I'm saying, that you have to talk about. You look at, you know what I'm saying, people talking about, well, you know, such made it, they're successful. You say, whoa, at what expense? Because the reality is, in general, in order to be a successful dope dealer, a lot of people have to have habits. In order to be a successful prison warden, a lot of people have to be locked up. One comes at the expense of another. You know what I'm saying? You look at, you know what I'm saying, I recall a big discussion with Roland Martin. They talked, after he left Texas, rushed to Chicago, and people were saying that Roland Martin didn't know what he was doing. He left the Chicago Defender newspaper. It went from a week, 7 days a week distribution down to twice a week. My response was, how do you know he didn't know what he was doing? It's what you mean, Chairman. How could the newspaper go down from seven? I said, you drawing a foregone conclusion. I said, Roland Martin ended up on CNN, working on CNN. You have to look at these people, you know what I'm saying? So that's how people make the, like what my guy told me one day, Randy, we talking, he say, Chairman Chief Keith, and people probably feel like when you say to them, you be laying out the contradictions, how the music industry use different people. Their position may be like, shit, look at what I had or didn't have before. You know what I'm saying? So they would say, this is good. But yeah, I'll give you a better example. The movie Superfly, the initial version of Superfly. It's a Ron O'Neill went to the other guy and said, man, these white folks using us. We're going to cut ties this year. We're going to cash out. We're going to get a certain amount of narcotics. We're going to cash out. They're going to get to use you. They're going to take you out. The other black, you know what I'm saying? I'll get the other character's name. You know what I'm saying? And ain't no coincidence even with that. You know what I'm saying? How they played the movie. The dark-skinned character that was playing opposite Ron O'Neill, got his name. He said, man, I don't care what they see me as. I don't care how long they use me. If I get just a quick run in, Cherokee in the building. You know what I'm saying? So the deal is you have to It's a how many you would be surprised? Oh no, that yeah. And it's I'll be going through them like, you know what I'm saying, like if you, the movies, like everything else, are a sign of the times. You know, you look at Free Your Mom, My Sister, Keep Your Head Up, right on. See, you know, that about it, Free Your Mom. You have to look at the sign of the times. I go to some of the black, they call it black exploitation movies, and, you know, pick out different things. It tells you about what the state was trying to do, how they were trying to co-op movies, what was going on. It was, you know, and even with movies, you got to do what Marcus Garvey said, take what apply and let the rest fly. Takes what apply and let the rest fly. So even with that, there's one movie called Trouble Man. It's called Trouble Man. It's got Hooks was the main character. And I took out of that movie, I said, man, look at the structure. Look how, like, even it was going down here, you know what I'm saying? He pulled up, told this lady, got to go. You know, we got to move. You know, there was no back and forth. It was just like structure, like, you know, just, it shows, you know, signs of the times. You can tell about movies, the names of people naming their babies, you know, all types of stuff. What's going on at that particular era of time? You know what I'm saying? Like, even now, it's a more intensification of the politics, the movies with the Donald Trump era, as opposed to years ago with the Obama administration. Now, hold on. I know y'all ready to snap out. You look at the type of movies that, you know what I'm saying? I would say probably under the Obama administration, probably Avatar, that's probably one of the few movies with some political, you know what I'm saying? But they were able to sell this abstract snake oil due to the political climate, you know what I'm saying? When you have an ante being up, it's conversation that has to be had. Like, even the community now, you can't, it's certain things, you know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, I tell cats, there's certain states and games, cats can brag about, man, I did this, I'm, you know, man, in the face of so many countries that black folks going through, and nigga pull up on you, you know what I'm saying, talking this Floyd Mayweather shit, you know, bragging about this and that. I'm like, man, you got me fucked up. You know what I'm saying? It's, man, we are starving. You bragging about this here? It's a different dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Or everything is political. Even, you know what I'm saying? See, even Rome in particular, how they view sexuality, our community is forced to talk about it in a subjective way. You know what I'm saying? No doubt, the movie Spook Who Sat by the Door. All these, the type, even if there was an opposing summation, you know what I'm saying, however, it was, you go back and look at Sweetback's badass song, Minister E.P. Newton. Even then, Bobby Seale talked about how Minister E.P. Newton had mandated the members to go back and watch Sweetback's badass song. And Minister E.P. Newton gave a whole summation on it and was different than that. The people didn't even catch on to it. Speaking of which, it's a movie I want y'all to check out, man. I ain't finished watching it. I think it's on Hulu. Handmaiden's Tale. Handmaid's Tale. Listen, a lot of times people get caught up with, like, you know, you would take their talk to people, educate them, and it's real subjective. It's extremely subjective. It's subjective. It's thinking that you can go give a person some green juice, or, you know, once Jay-Z read this book, he gonna relate with the people. Once, you know what I'm saying, once Oprah, you know, hear what's going on about the agenda, she all of a sudden, she has some concern for black men or black people. You feel what I'm saying? The deal is, in a politics is, and I people say, what do you mean? No, I ain't meaning, I'm saying what I meant, politics. I be talking to cats, they always be, oh, so that's like saying, no, you don't go up in no mosque and say, we are just doing Ramadan, we fasting. You be like, oh, it's like saying, we don't eat, no, it's fasting. You know, it's a politics to their words, a politics to their term. You don't go up in no barber shop and you know, there's a certain cut, you say, oh, it's like a, no, this what it is. You don't go up in no white folks' courts. You don't go up in no white folks' courts and they tell you, well, we're going to call for this motion, such and such. You be like, well, judge, just like, look, they're going to, like, you we said it in Latin, and your black ass be here on that next court date, and that, what you want to say, this has going down. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to translate nothing to you. You know what I'm saying? But you're not, better yet, you're not going to change the words around. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to, see, most, in this movie, Handmaid's Tale, even talks about that subjectivity. You can come in and you, it's an arrogance that's bred, that's what I issue with people even spoiling children. Because it puts, especially black children, they don't get a reality check. Because you put them in a subjective bubble, like the world revolves around them. And you talk, and but see, white folks actually have this luxury, it's reinforced to them. Example. I'm on 59th and Normal one time. I'm on 59th and Normal. And it's these cats outside. And I said, wow. And I want to say this is no degrading way. I the stereotypical, the images that people refer to as the hobos, the ride the trains, they had the stick, the bundle with the clothes wrapped up at the end of the stick. I said, man, I said, let me get out and get, you know, feel it. I said, that's my first time even seeing this, like this dynamic that you know what I'm saying, that you heard about. I get out. There's one black cat, two Mexicano cats, and two white cats. Now, they all got their sticks, you know what I'm saying? Now, again, y'all know me. I ain't got to explain this. Ain't no degrading away, you know what I'm saying? So I pull up. Two detective cars pull up. They ask the white guys, the homeless, the guys who people refer to as hobos, they pull up. They ask the hobos, everything cool. They went past me. You know what I'm saying? So all this stuff about, you know, you don't talk right, you don't dress right, you know. It's that championship race. We said we're not racist, we're realists. It's a reality. We must acknowledge, and how the police view who to respond to, who to check on. This, you know, you cannot negate it. People say, well, I don't recognize race. You listen to on a police scanner. Listen to the police click a phone call. They don't say we have an Aquarius, 5'4" individual, and at the end of the sentence, oh yeah, we got to mention he's black. Or he's white. You know what I'm saying? Through the door. Black male. Through the door. You know what I'm saying? Mexican female. This is how the system utilizes race. You know what I'm saying? And it's a tool that has been historically used by imperialism. You know what I'm saying? We must be armed with the politics not to bow down to become subject to that, but acknowledge it. You know what I'm saying? We live in the record, y'all. Triple C Savvy. Clarence Holman, I see you. Gino, I see you. Clarence Holman, Sister Mac, yes indeed. So, right on, y'all. Welcome to Triple C Saturday, y'all. Y'all tune in with us, but let people know we live and direct. And I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I was, man, caught real, still, like, sick again when I called in. It's my therapy, y'all. It's my therapy. The politics. I'm feeling better, you know what I'm saying? The politics is my therapy. We down 3 minutes, y'all. Y'all tune back in with us. We're going to check back in with y'all again. But y'all check that movie, Our Handmaid's Tale. I'm going to be doing a political summation on it. You know what I'm saying? Laying it out. Next Saturday, funeral services. Comrade Queen Daphne's Pops. You know what I'm saying? Y'all tune in with us. Y'all come on now. We need y'all support. Y'all can. Y'all know we in the process. Got some calls. You know what I'm saying? Baton Rouge. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it personal. Don't you personal. Vegas, you got to call me, you know, Vegas. A lot of our programs, well, somebody told me, Iowa, some people called, you know what I'm saying, with the program. We are reassessing and addressing, you know what I'm saying, we just tighten up our structure, you know what I'm saying, so the programs will be following up, we, you know what I'm saying, within the near future. I got to address some situations, some contradictions, but we're going to move forward, so we will be updating y'all. I know Baton Rouge, I got the word. Y'all want to be moving. Y'all can make it all the way to New Orleans to work with the Triple C's there. And people was asking, how can y'all just move? And the response was they had to tighten up their structure. So this is the overall response. We don't do these contradictions, so we will keep y'all posted. Y'all tune in with us, club in with us, whatever you can. Come back, drop some. Y'all, man, water guns, softballs, basketball, the weather breaking. Y'all know it's gonna get real. It's already crazy out here. It's gonna get real, real crazy. Y'all know it. We ain't gotta be no psychic to tell y'all. Y'all know it. We gonna have, you know what I'm saying? Even books, all that. You know what I'm saying? We need resources to help move with these programs. You gotta go to PayPal, Chairman Fred Jr. at PayPal.com. Also, Cash App at Save the Hampton House. We'll be keeping y'all posted. We need y'all support. You know what I'm saying? We can't. As Minister Dewey Peterson said, that without the people, revolution is impossible. It's impossible. So again, another episode. Stay locked and loaded for Triple C Saturday, y'all. August 30th is going down. Chairman Fred's Street Party. December 4th, International Revolution Day. This is the 50th, y'all. The 50th year. Man, we're gonna take some cuts. 804 South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois 60153. That's 804. South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois, 60153, right across the street from Irvin Elementary School in Maywood. You know what I'm saying? We here, you know what I'm saying, making it drop something up, you know what I'm saying, directly. I want to thank this brother. Other damn close out, man. Wasn't no talk, man. The toilet plenty messed up here, like a lot of stuff. This brother overheard the conversation. him and his lady. He pulled up a tray of fish, cooked some fish up, and brought it to the house. Next morning, he brought the plumber through here and said, man, I ain't making no long speech about this here. He wanted help. There are people who talk about they want help. They don't want help. They say, well, what's this? I call them parole board hearings. We're going to donate this and that. We're going to donate computers and this and that. Yeah. Oh, I heard there's some problems down. You know, what about I donating, period? It's going in front of the parole board. Did you do this? You went to school? Yes. Did you do this? Yes. You do this? Yes. Oh, no. Come back 10 years. You want to let me go anyway. Waste me and your time. Let's be up front. We can do a field marshal George Jackson say, soon be gone, soon be done. Triple C Saturday, y'all. Make history, take history, take history, y'all. This is where we at. We ain't hard to find. We ain't hard to help. We need assistance. We are honored to serve you. Free them all. Happy birthday, Comrade Stan. Free them all.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. You see, the deal is this here. Now, although they did my daddy in one of the most direct graphic type of ways, the reality is that this system snatches or attempts to snatch all of our daddies in some sort of a way. And though the peers came in blasting, rat-a-tat-tatting through the front and back doors in 1969 at 4:30 a.m. on December the 4th, in which an aftermath only left my daddy, 21-year-old Chairman Fred, but 22-year-old Defense Captain Mar Clark as corpses. You see, they set the stage and laid the ground to, in whatever way, lay all of our daddies and all of us in general under the ground. Whether it be to string them up, lock them up, have them strung out, shoot them up, paying them up or parking them out, or straight up point blank, putting them 6 feet under the ground. Now, with that being said, this is from the young Chairman Fred to that of the Chairman Fred, as well as to all the daddies, fathers, and papas. Those who are in prison, as well as those who, in which it was out of their control, just came up missing, as well as the forgotten. Dear Daddy, this is for you, man. Let the record reflect. For your son with nothing but love and revolutionary respect. With you, no commercials for Gatorade juice. No Armani suits, no nothing of the likes. For our son, the son to be a freedom fighter like Chairman Fred as opposed to wanting to be like Mike. Although you weren't here, you was always here for me. And I learned lessons from your legend of what a man was supposed to be. When they played with my mail and I couldn't get to no phone, doing those hunger strikes and cold nights, I was never alone. Like you, they said, and I talk real fast and I move my hand. We love the people, oh, but we'll get up with that ass. On the streets, I always in the ear when they spoke on Chairman Fred. And in prison, I paid attention to what the old timer said. When they spoke on you, I seen that gleam in their eye. With just the mere mention of your name, I seen demoralized get high. No narcotics needs, in fact, high people that you always said. As a kid, I came up looking forward to sideburns, fur hats, and a nappy head. From colleges to the communities, from the parlors to the pool rooms, from the real Rainbow Coalition to a principal gang troops. In this struggle, you said you would pay the ultimate price. You anticipated prison and dedicated your life. Whenever the state sounded your name, mama told me the truth. And that young lady, your great-grandbaby, she sends you a love. Well, she's a descendant of a diehard and a blessing from above. Now, quiet minds want to know, how does it feel to be sighted by you? Being loved by the people and sweated by the you-know-who. If I could choose to do it all over again, I would choose to be your son. And by the way, that lady that you chose, that daddy, that was the one.
See you Saturday. Free them all.